Thank you, Bill. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you this morning and we worship you. We come into your courts with thanksgiving. We come before you with praise today, Lord. We honor you. We ask you, Lord, to reveal your word to us this morning. And we ask you, Lord, to reveal that word to us every day of our lives. We live by that word. We honor your word. We obey your word. And we thank you for the blessing today that's upon this place and the word of God that's represented here. What a place, Lord. We give you honor and praise for all the good you're doing in all of our lives, blessing us every day. And we thank you. Thank you for giving us utterance today. Give us hearing today. Reveal yourself to us today by your word, Lord, and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise your Lord. What a place to preach. Glory to God. We could have just had a music fest here today, but we're going to get both the word and the music. I'm going to share some things with you, I'm going to be sure I don't preach all day here. Maybe I might, but I trust not. I know you'd stay because you're so hungry. I want to talk to you about the master plan today for your life. Isn't that a marvelous thing that we have a master plan for our life, that I'm not just one of many in a big group, but God knows my name, he knows my future, he knows my plan that he's got for me, he knows your name, he knows your future, he knows the plan he's got for you. Is it a done deal? It is if you'll do it. But you know, you can turn down the plan of God. People do it by the thousands every day, but we're not one of those people. We're going to walk in the plan of God for our lives. And so I want to just give you some terrific scriptures today on God's master plan. It's a blessing plan. It's a do you good plan. God doesn't have any sorry plans. They're all good. But every good plan God has to have somebody to receive that plan. You know, you didn't have to get born again. And many of you are here today, you've never made that choice. You don't have to. You can miss the master plan for your life. But you'll sure be a sorry situation if you do. God's got something good for you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today's your day to start walking in what God's got for you. Let's look. I'm going to use the New Living Translation some today. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 in the New. This is a translation I read in my daily reading. I love all the translations, but this is a great translation. It's good in this area for sure. In verse 8 in the New Living, it said, God saved you by his special favor when you believed. So who determined when you got saved, blessed, came into the plan of God? You did, by receiving what God had for you. God knew you before you were born. I'm going to read you a scripture and prove it to you in a minute. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Glory to God. Right there in Ephesians, we can see that we are a masterpiece with a master plan. Yeah, but you might say, I don't think I can do much. I don't think I've got much to give. Well, when you become the masterpiece and you're born of God, he puts everything in you that it takes to walk out his master plan for your life. The only way you don't have what it takes is if you don't ever make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Then you don't have what it takes to walk out God's wonderful plan for your life. But we're a masterpiece. Doesn't that bless you to know you're special? There's a lot of us, but we're all special. God's got a plan for all of us. We're a masterpiece with a master plan. I love that subject. I love the subject of the master plan. It's blessed me so much. And then one day I was reading this, and I was reading one of the Hebrew commentaries. I like to read after those, and this was one from the Humash and the commentary with it. You know, the Jewish people have studied the Bible for thousands of years, and they've preserved what they've learned and what they've gotten out of it. And I was reading a commentary one day, and it said, God has the ability. No, it says, you have the ability to connect to God's master plan. I thought, what an awesome statement. I have the ability to connect to God's master plan. You have that same ability. God's got a master plan. You're a masterpiece. He's got a master plan. And I'll just take a little testimony here. How many of you, your lives have been so increased and blessed since you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Okay, put your hand down. How many of you can tell a difference between now and that old life you used to live? Glory to God. Where would you ever find that many people that had lied one time? We're telling you the truth. This is the truth. That master plan, oh my word, I'd never dreamed. I wasn't raised in church. My people that did go to church, they went to a church that Ken says is famous for believing nothing. And I'd have to agree with that. So I didn't know about all these things. And it was just the mercy of God and His plan for me that ever brought me into the kingdom of God. When Ken and I married, neither one of us were born again. And he knew about it, though. I didn't even know. I had never heard the term new birth. I mean, I had never heard anything like that. And so when we got married, it was just God. I mean, he just put us together. We happened to meet one time for about an hour, and we had mutual friends that my parents had mutual friends with some people that he flew for, and so we went to pick them up, take them to the airport, and between the time we spent there at the place where they were and the airport, that's when I met him. I mean, I didn't know, I never heard of him, didn't know. He just, you know, he wasn't in the ministry. He was just a guy. And so it was football weekend in Arkansas and university. And so I was there for the game with friends from the university, and Ken had flown these people up. So he met my parents at a party, my mother's cousin's party. And my father said to him, "We want to take you to the airport tomorrow." So then my father said to me later on, "I want you to go with us." Well, you know how excited a college girl is about meeting her father's friends? Well, that was how it was. But I did. I went with them. I met Ken. I saw him probably for just, I don't know, an hour. And then he got on the airport. He took him to the airport. He got on the airport. And that was it. He got on the airplane and took off. Well, about a month from that time, or 6 weeks, I was at home from college. And my parents were going somewhere for the weekend. They said, "Did I want to go?" And I said, "No, I'm going to stay home." You know why I stayed home? I knew that guy was going to call me. I had not heard one word from him. I had never seen him but one time in my life. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know the leading of the Spirit. But I knew he was going to call me. I mean, so I stayed home. Sure enough, he called me about Saturday. And he had been moved from Texas to Arkansas on this flying job that was about 40 miles from where I lived and about 40 miles from where I went to school. So he called me and asked me out. So he drove over, picked me up. We went out on a date. We had to drive a long way to go somewhere because we were in the country. He brought me back that night. We talked, you know, we just had a great night. He brought me back to the house. We walked up to the porch. And he said, "Will you marry me?" Now, I had no idea about the master plan. I had no idea about the leading of the Spirit. But I said, "Okay." I went into the house that night. I was there by myself. And then he didn't even kiss me goodnight. I mean, he said, "Will you marry me?" I said, "Okay." I mean, I was just in shock, I guess. I don't know. So I went into the house that night. I was lying in bed, and I thought, what am I going to do? I don't even know that guy. Why did I tell him I'd marry him? Now, I do not recommend this. You girls that are single out there, and guys, I'm not recommending this at all. It's got to be in the master plan to be right. I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, oh, well, I'll get out of it later. And this has been 46 years ago. It was a master plan. Isn't that amazing? And I got born again, filled with the Spirit. Ken was born again, filled with the Spirit. And then together, we began to walk out the master plan. God is quite an operator. And you know, you don't have to know much to follow him, but it helps. The more you know, the better you get at following him. So you know, he's got a plan. It might be something I had never thought. I mean, if I had any thought about being a preacher's wife, it would have been, I don't want that. I don't want to be a preacher's wife, because every preacher I ever saw, I wouldn't want to marry at that point. But God had a plan. It's a master plan. Now, this what I was reading in this Hebrew translation and commentary was, you have the ability to connect to God's master plan. Thank God most everybody in here is not ignorant as I was at that time. But I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I'd never been to a church. I didn't even know about the new birth. So how much easier is it for you to follow the master plan than it was for me? But yet God maneuvered. I remember Brother Hagin prophesying about God maneuvering you, says the Lord. He maneuvers you into the place that he has prepared for you. So I'm excited about the master plan. I know it's for real. I know we have the ability to connect to it. And now, knowing the Word of God, with the teaching we've had, and the good churches like this one we have to go to, oh, it's the master plan is a cinch. It's a done deal. We know that so many more people know the Word today than they did 40 years ago when Ken and I began to follow God. Harvest is in the master plan. Let me read you this from... I did read this. God has the ability to connect us to the master plan. We're a masterpiece, Ephesians says, and we can do the things that he planned for us long ago. We're a masterpiece with a master plan. Now, in Proverbs 4:18, in the Amplified Bible, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to look it up. This is a great scripture. It says, "But the path of the just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in that perfect day." It's a shining path. This path that God has for you is a shining path. It's an anointed path. It's a blessed path. But yet, on the other hand, we have the ability to turn that down. because sometimes people are afraid. God calls you to do something, tells you to do something. People are afraid. They can't do it. They go look at their bank account and say, we can't do that. No, you don't look at your bank account when God leads you to do something. What do you do? You put your foot in the water. You take the next step. And then the next step. God's got a shining path for us. And if we'll just be bold, and now that we know the Word of God, and now that we know life, the key to a good and a blessed life is knowing what the Word says and obeying it. It's just an exciting thing from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. And you're blessed because you have this wonderful church with wonderful teaching. Ken and I did not have teaching for a long time, even after we got born again and filled with the Spirit. So we were slow to grow. But the moment that an anointed teacher, Brother Hagin, Brother Roberts, anointed teacher and minister of the gospel came into our lives, we began to grow fast. And so today we have good teachers, we have good pastors, we have people, churches that preach the plan and preach the Word and teach you that God wants you to be born again. He wants you filled with the Spirit. He wants you prosperous. He wants you healed. I'm telling you, a lot's changed in the last 40 years in the church. And so you can grow fast when you get under a good pastor and a good teacher and learn the Word of God. You can just grow like that. And yet, you have to do what's preached. The key to walking in your master plan is obeying the written Word and obeying the prompting of the Spirit and the Word that comes to you individually in your heart. And it's exciting. I mean, God is a big planner. He can plan more for you than you can even think of to do. Glory. But you have to give Him time and attention, and that's the key to it. So God has this plan for us. He's got a shining path. It shines more and more, the Amplified says, brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I love God's plan. I love to follow God's plan. We have the ability to connect, and we can connect. And harvest and blessing is in the path. Now, let's look at Psalm 137. I'm going to read some to you from the New Living Testament there about the plan. Let's see where I want to start here. Let's just look at... If you don't have this translation, you'd probably be better just to listen than to try to read it from another one. But in Psalm 130, let's just go to 138. The Lord will work out His plans for my life. Isn't that a great scripture? We ought to be saying that every day. The Lord will work out His plans for my life. That's Psalm 138 in verse 8. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Isn't that comforting? If you're born again, the Lord, and even informed you in your mother's womb, even if you're not born again yet, God made you in your mother's womb. And then He made you over again when you got born again. And He changed you. And He put in you everything you need to walk out His plan. Glory to God. And then He filled you with Himself, with His Holy Spirit. If you're born again today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just limping on one leg, I'm telling you. You can hardly limp on one leg when you think about it. You've got to have the Spirit of God in your life. He's the teacher. He's the empowerer. He's the revealer of the plan. So today, don't leave without being born again and without receiving the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I love walking in the Spirit. I love walking with the Lord. I love knowing that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I love knowing that no matter what comes against me, no matter what traps or plans or bad purposes somebody might have against me, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't want to miss that. I mean, I would just, to think back on my life before I got born again and received the Holy Spirit, it was just a sad thing. You know, you just are, you don't know any better than to believe whatever you hear, bad things are going to happen to you. You don't know any better than to say, oh no, it's troubles here again. But once you get born again, filled with the Spirit, and you know the Word of God, and people say, trouble's here again, you say, not for me, it's not. I've been delivered. And they say, well, we don't know what's going to happen. What are we going to do? Well, hey, the greater one lives in me. He tells me what to do. He's always got a way out. He's always got a plan. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I get excited about it. The Lord will work out His plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Let's go on down to, let's go down to 139. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. God, you're not going to surprise God with anything. He knows everything about you. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought. Isn't that awesome? To think that God knows your thoughts makes you want to think right, doesn't it? You know my every thought. He knows every thought of unbelief that you have. He knows every thought of failure that you have. He knows every thought of faith that you have. He knows every thought that you have in your heart and in your mind to say, Lord, here I am. Take my life and do something with it. That's the way I got saved. Ken and I were married, been married about 6 months. We were extremely broke. Ken was out looking for a job. I was at home in a house that we sometimes things come along and you hear this story about, give me your money and you'll get rich. Well, we had heard a little story like that, so we invested in a company. And at that company, I don't even know if they went broke or if they never did get over being broke. But they didn't last very long. But Ken had gone to work for them. And so now, thinking we were going to do well, you know, we leased a nice house, but we had no furniture. But we were going to put furniture in it. And so here I was in a house with no furniture. I had no refrigerator, no stove. We had a rented rollaway bed that cost $7.50 a month, and I don't think it was worth that, you know. That was it. We had a rollaway bed. We had a stunning coffee table, a metal coffee table that Ken made in high school. And we had a black and white TV, which was not so bad in those days because I don't even know if there was color in those days. But we had a black and white TV, and it was about this big. But the picture was about this big. So that wasn't so good. It was broken. Have you ever seen the Beverly Hillbillies this big? This is what we, that's what was on in those days. So I was at home with my coffee table, my broken TV, and no hope without God in the world. And I picked up a Bible. There was probably only one book in that house. At least only one I can remember, because we didn't have furniture and things like that, except these few things. One book, and it was a book Ken's mother had given him for his birthday, because she was a praying woman. And at this point, she didn't even know about me. But when she found out about me, she was most unhappy. But anyway, I don't know what she prayed for me, but now she's stuck with me, so now she's got to pray for me. And so his mother had given him this Bible, and it said in the front of it, it was a New English translation, which I'd never seen, a modern translation of the Bible. And it said, Ken Precious. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and all of these things will be added unto you. Well, hey, I needed some things added to me. Bad. I thought, this is great. This is good. All of these things. So I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. See, I didn't know what I was supposed to say. But I gave myself to the Lord. And I said, take my life and do something with it. And that's when I got born again, even though I didn't know I got born again. That's when I gave the Lord my life. Well, within 6 months of that time, Ken had a job. We were, moving straight ahead. And then some years later, we were called into the ministry. And it's just been days of heaven on earth ever since. Glory to God. Everything works better with the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Lord, it says the Lord will work out his plans for my life. I didn't know anything about the Lord, really. And he was working out his plan for my life step by step. It says in verse 39, Lord, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me. Now I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. God has something to work with. And then after a while, we began to hear teaching on the Word. Teaching really changed our lives. Until you learn how to follow God, your outward circumstances don't change that much. You change, but your circumstances stay the same because you don't know the truth about what God says about your circumstances. But when we began to learn to act on the Word, we began to listen to Brother Hagin and teachers, and we began to hear Brother Roberts, we began to learn how to apply faith. So, the circumstances, that was years. We've been married for years when we found those things out. The circumstances just did a little circle around and around and around. We were born again. We were spirit-filled, but we were stupid. So nothing changed until we began to know that the Word of God is speaking to me, and you do it, and it'll work for you to put the Word first place in our lives. Now things begin to change. Now that path began to grow, as the Amplified says in Proverbs 4:18. It began to grow brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. As we learned and acted, it's not what you know, it's what you do. As we learned and acted on what God said in His Word, it was there all the time. But we didn't have the revelation of doing the Word of God. And so then our path began to be brighter and brighter and brighter. God knows our thoughts. He knows when we sit down or stand up. He charts the path ahead of us and tells us when to stop and rest. Isn't that a good thing? Every moment you know where I am. Every moment God knows where you are. What I'm going to say, Lord, even before I say it. That is the Psalm 139 in verse 4 in the New Living Translation. How does he know what I'm going to say? Because he knows what's in my heart. He knows what I'm going to say even before I say it. Isn't that awesome to think that God pays that much attention to you and me, and that he can do that with all of us at the same time? So God knows what's in your heart, and it comes out your mouth. You both precede me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. God puts his hand of blessing up on your head. Glory to God. We are blessed. When we come into the kingdom of God, we are blessed. But we've got to get into the Word to find out how we're blessed and that we even are blessed. We begin to find out that the Lord meets our needs according to His riches and glory. We begin to find out the details about what God wants out of our lives. God's a planner and He's a doer. I mean, He has big ideas. He can think of things that He wants you to do that you'd think you were never able to do it. And you wouldn't be able to do it except the greater one is now in you. And you can do whatever you're told to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. The greater one is in me. He talks to me. He reveals His word to me. He tells me what to do, and He tells me how to go about things. And if I don't know how to do, I say, Lord, I'm asking You for wisdom on this. Show me how to do this. Show me how to come out of this situation. Show me how to go through this situation. Show me what to do. And Lord reveals His plan. There's no way in the Word that you and I should be failing. If we're failing, it's because we're not doing. It's because we're not hearing and doing what He says to do. Well, you say, I just don't know how to hear the voice of God. Well, can you read? If you can read, you get in this book, and whatever it says for you to do, do it. That's hearing the voice of God. If you can't read, I think you ought to learn how, but until you do, you let somebody read it to you. Or you come to church every time church is open, let somebody preach it to you. But you've got to learn to read, because your whole life and the blessing on your whole life and everything you do, everybody you have in your circle of influence here, your family and so on, God wants to bless us. He wants to do us good. Listen to this. Now, this is really amazing in this. I'm going to skip down to verse 13 in the New Living says, You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God put you together in your mother's womb. That's how long He's been keeping up with you. That's how important you are. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. Listen to this in verse 15. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. God has a plan for you. He's made you from the beginning of your beginning to be able to do and fulfill whatever that plan is. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. I'm reading you the Bible. This is the truth. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I'm here to tell you, God's got a plan for your life. You give Him your time and your attention, and He will do things for you you never dreamed of having or being or doing in your life. Take my word for it. It's the truth. How precious are Your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up in the morning, You're still there. Now think about God's watching you from your mother's womb while you were being formed and keeping up with you every day of your life, having every day of your life recorded in your book, in God's book. He recorded it in His book. Every moment laid out before a single day had passed. Think about how much God cares for you. Now, who else in the whole world cares about you that much? To keep up with you every day, to plan for you every day, to cause you to be formed and to be watch you being formed every day of your life. Now, that thrilled me when I saw that. I thought, wow, God cares. cares about me. Glory to God. I'm telling you from the Bible today, He cares about you. He cares more about you than anybody in this world cares about you. Who else could put up with you every day of your life and still love you and care for you and plan out your life? God's got a master plan for you. It's a good plan. If you don't know what it is, and many of you here are young and you haven't figured out that yet, well, don't try to figure it out. And those of you, a lot of you have never figured out the plan God has for your life, and you've been living a different plan that's not all that good. Just start going over these scriptures about the master plan and expect God to talk to you and reveal the plan. Now, I still I don't know all my plan. I just know all of it up to right now. But I'm hanging in there. I'm staying connected to God all the days of my life, and I'm going to go through this life, and I'm going to come when I go into glory. I want to have fulfilled what God has planned for me. And I know it's going to be exciting. It's already been exciting. I had never been anywhere. I think I'd been to Texas and Oklahoma. And I was in college, you know. I'd never been anywhere. I'd never traveled. I'd never seen anything. I would never have guessed that I would have gone everywhere and more places even than I want to go sometimes. God had a plan for me. It was a worldwide plan. I never thought about preaching the gospel. I didn't even know there was such a thing as women preachers. Glory to God. But now I are one. God can do things that you don't even know He can do if you'll give Him time and attention. Now, all of that was true all of my life, but I never knew it until I began to give Him time and attention in His Word, obeying the written Word. That puts you in position to hear other things from God. My goodness. So the key to an exciting and a fulfilled life is, first of all, knowing what's in the book. And you never know that. You can read this all of your lives and you'll still need to read it more. It never gets old when the Spirit of God reveals the Word to you. It never gets old. It never gets redundant. I read it every day. I find out my plan. Occasionally I'll miss a day, but it's very rare. I found out, the Word of God for me that day and for the rest of my life and everything, every success that Ken and I've had. And we're satisfied. You may not think we're successful, but we're satisfied. We're happy. We are, we're satisfied. God's blessed us and we feel like we have obeyed God. And our hearts are right before God. That's why when people criticize you or persecute you or whatever, Jesus just said if you're going to live godly, or the book says, and if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. In Timothy, it says that. Paul said that. And he knew something about persecution. He certainly suffered it. So if people, maybe the people you work with, maybe they're persecuting you, talking bad, making fun of you because you're a believer. That's just because they're stupid. They don't know anything. If they knew anything, they'd be a believer. So don't be concerned about what people think or say or do. The only way they're not going to say or think or do those kind of things is if you're a do-nothing believer. If you're going to live godly, people are going to want to put you down for it. But who cares? Godly's fun. It's marvelous to be blessed. It's great to be prosperous. It's wonderful to be healed. It's great to wake up and live in peace every day of your life. Hallelujah. And know that you are blessed. And know that God loves you. Glory to God. He wouldn't love you more if you were the only child He had. He has the ability to love us, to care for us, to bless us, to see to us, to know our thoughts. to hear our words. It's awesome. Now, the more we can say right and expect right and believe right, the more of the blessing that he has for us is manifested in our lives. Amen? So it just depends on what do we want. So the Lord knows you. It says, how precious are thy thoughts about me? Lord, God thinks about me. How precious are your thoughts about me? God thinks about you. He loves you. Now you just, if you'll just give him your all. I'm not talking about just getting born again. I'm talking about those of you who are born again, spirit filled. If you'll just give him your allegiance, your loyalty, your faithfulness to do what's written in the book, to do what you hear preached from the Bible, to get in the Bible yourself. That's where your life is. That's where the blessing is. If you don't know about the blessing, you're not going to be receiving too much of it. But you can find out. And those of you who go to this church, you are double blessed because you got pastors who know and they preach to you the blessing. Glory to God. How many of you, since you've been going to this church, how many of you have increased financially? Okay, you visitors, are you watching this? How come? Because the word's preached here. Because people are inspired to act on the word of God. God's got a master plan. All we have to do is to find out what the Bible says, what he says to us in our heart, and we have the ability to connect to that master plan. The Lord works out his plan for us. I have confidence in that. I've enjoyed it. It's been marvelous. And it's a shining path. It takes faith. What about faith? I can tell you this, Ken and I never really enjoyed much of the blessing in the natural world until we began to learn to take God at his word. Faith. Faith is believing in your heart and saying with your mouth what God says. Faith, out of necessity, has to know what God says, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, Ken and I, we were pretty desperate. We were interested in being blessed. We were interested in receiving. We were broke, in debt, and we needed help. And God had our attention. When we began to learn about faith from Brother Hagin, and Ken was seeing faith operated by Brother Roberts, we begin to learn about, for instance, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That got our attention. Okay, now I know where to get faith. Now it's up to me to go to the word of God and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. And then we found out that faith goes by saying. Faith comes by hearing. Faith goes by saying. Mark 11:23-24 had a tremendous effect on our lives. You know why? Because we were broke and we were saying so. We had problems and we said so. We're broke. What are we going to do? How are we going to pay these bills? We were in debt and we had no money. We have 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 a bill. We have no money. We need groceries. We have no money. We go to the grocery store. We pray in tongues while we're in there believing we have the money to get out of the grocery store. But what do you do? What do you do when you have a pain? Well, if you're married, the first thing you want to do is tell the person you're married to, I have a pain. I'm sick. I have a headache. I have a stomachache. I don't feel good. Why is that? That's because we're stupid. We don't know any better until we get in the Word of God and we find out that if we want blessing, we have to talk blessing. If we don't want sickness, we have to quit talking sickness. You know, just in the natural, hey, I remember, just in the natural, when you're sick, what is the first thing you want to do? You want to say so. You want to call somebody on the phone. You want to tell your husband, your wife, I'm sick. I don't feel good today. I'm sick. All day long, you'll tell everybody you know. I'm sick. I have these symptoms. I've got a cold. I'm in pain. You know, that's because we didn't know any better. But now we know, according to the Word of God, how faith comes. It comes by the Word. That means that when you read the Word, that means you have to get into the Word and hear the Word. And then you do the Word, and you say what that says. If you need money, you begin to talk the blessing scriptures on money. God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, the Bible is full of prosperity. It's a prosperity book. Some people get bent out of shape about prosperity books. There is no prosperity book like this book. God's always wanted His people to prosper. In the blessing, they would be the head and not the tail. They would be above only and not beneath. They would lend to many and they would not borrow. And every sickness and every disease was under the curse, but now I'm in the blessing and I'm healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, this is a prosperity book. But you got to live it. You got to read it, hear it, say it, let it get in your eyes, in your ears, down in your heart, and come out your mouth. And that's what Ken and I did when we began to hear about faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We found out that God wanted us to prosper. And we still have that revelation. And it's still working. We prosper. We increase. Why? Because it's God's will for us. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. We like it. We like to prosper. Well, I just don't think it's right. Well, you just go on and be broke. But I'm going to prosper. Because the Bible says God meets my needs. It says, talks to me about being blessed and being cursed. And it says, if I'll do the Word, I'll be blessed. And everything good is under that blessing. All prosperity is under that blessing. Healing's under that blessing. Everything's under the blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm under the blessing. And you're under the blessing. How many of you are thankful for the blessing? How many of you are glad you're blessed and not cursed? Glory to God. How many of you are grateful to the Lord for bringing you out of sickness, disease, sin, poverty? Hallelujah. Glory to God, making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord. I am blessed and I cannot be cursed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, I get excited, but I can't get too excited because I have to stop sometime in a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. We are blessed. You know, there is a psalm that says this, Psalm 109:17. It says, He loved cursing and let it come upon. Let's first, before I say that, you know that Mark 11:23, but let's just look at that. This is so important in every area of your life. This is how faith comes. This is how faith goes. This is so, you're so dependent upon this. And I want to read it to you in the light of what I'm about to say. Now this, see, when we found this out, we were still in a little rent house with nothing good in it much. We were just learning about faith. We just began to hear Brother Hagin. We'd been over there. We'd gotten his tapes on faith. Ken was preaching somewhere. He was out the way. Or either he was maybe still at college in ORU. I don't know. He was not there that day. And I was listening to Brother Hagin's tapes. You know, back there then there were 7-inch reels. Big old things. And I was listening about, you can have what you say. Now that tape changed my life. And I was listening to it that day, and it says have, the word he was using says have faith in God. That's Mark 11:22. And verse 23 says, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I was taking notes on that. I was listening to it and taking notes on that big old tape that day. And all of a sudden it dawned on me what Jesus was telling me to do. And here were the words I got. In consistency lies the power. Now, we'd been in agreement with, you know, the blessing, and we'd been in agreement with prosperity and all that, but we just hadn't seen much of it yet. And we were loving what we were learning from the Word of God. But that day I saw that what I consistently say in my life is what comes to pass. Inconsistency lies the power. Some people hear the blessing, they hear faith, they hear about healing, and they try it for a few days, and maybe they still hurt, or they haven't inherited a great deal of money in 3 or 4 days, or 3 or 4 weeks, or whatever they're expecting. Inconsistency lies the power. I saw that day that it's not what I say every once in a while, or just what I say in church, or just what I say when I'm thinking about the Bible, but what I say day in, day out, consistently, the things that I say, that's what comes out of my heart. What I consistently say without even thinking about it, that's what's on the inside of here. That's how God knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows what's in here. What's in here comes out. So if you put the Word of God in there, you put the blessing of God in there, you keep it going in your eyes, in your ears, and it keeps going in there, and it keeps coming out. In consistency lies the power. Maybe you've attempted to walk by faith, but you're still in the situation you were in. It's been months. Maybe it's been a year. I don't know. You know, whatever. I'm just telling you, if you won't quit, God won't quit. I'm telling you, if you won't give up on that word of healing, and you're standing on the word, and you consistently say healing, you refuse to say sickness and disease, you refuse to take sickness. Well, you know, like somebody says, I'm taking a cold. Well, I'm not taking a cold. I'm taking healing in the name of Jesus. Whatever you consistently say. Now, those of you who are a little disappointed in things, maybe things haven't worked like you should or when you thought they should, what are you saying all the time? What are you saying? You can have what you say, but you change what you say by the Word of God. God's Word. In your eyes, in your ears, getting down in your heart and coming back out. Your mouth applied to the problem, to any problem in that curse, which includes everything bad, you can overcome it. You can put it away. Faith will put it away in Jesus' name. Out of your heart, that means you had to make a deposit. You have to spend time in. Now, to walk, as far as I can tell, as far as I know about it, to walk in victory, I have to walk in a steady diet of the Word of God. And I have to follow the things that we preach about faith. I have to consistently speak abundance if I want abundance. I have to consistently speak health and healing and long life if I want health and healing and long life. I can't be wishy-washy and up one day, maybe I got in a good meeting in Chicago and I'm talking real good and I've got a lot of faith. 2 or 3 days from then, a week from then, now, oh, I'm back down. I'm just an old little worm, you know. Nothing's working for me. It's not going to work for me. My faith's not working. Here's the words I got that day. Inconsistency lies the power. Whatever you consistently say is what comes to pass in your life. Whatever you consistently say out of your heart and it comes out your mouth comes to pass in your life. You cannot consistently say right without consistently spending time in the Word of God. and believing what you read there and applying it to your life. In consistency lies the power. Now, when I saw that day, I saw I've got to quit talking the problem. We've got to quit talking debt. We've got to quit talking bills that we cannot pay. We've got to start talking abundance if we want abundance to overcome the lack that's in our life. You start saying, whatever you say, Jesus says what you're going to get. You start saying based on the Word of God, and you will have blessing that whatever that Word says. You know, it's possible to believe for to be strong in healing and receive healing, get healing scriptures in your heart and in your mouth, and be weak in prosperity. If you're not, you know, there's lots of churches like that believe in healing, but they fight the prosperity message. Well, don't go to a church that fights prosperity if you want to prosper. Go to a church that preaches the whole thing, like this church. How many of you are thankful for this church? Glory to God. I'll tell you, Pastor Bill can get me stirred up. I like to hear him preach. I like it when he starts doing this. I like that. I know he's taking off now. He's taking off now. Glory to God. You're a blessed people. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's got a plan. It's a good plan. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what's in us. He's given us words. He's given us the written word. You can look these scriptures up in 10 different translations, I guess. He's given it to us over and over again. He's given us preachers and teachers and churches, CDs, television. You can turn on your television. I'm telling you, there was a day in this country when you couldn't turn on television and get the gospel. And then there came a day when there were two people on television, Brother Roberts and Brother Humbard. They weren't on every day, but they came on once a week. And now in our day, there's lots of people, lots of preachers, anointed preachers on television every day. Glory to God. Churches, there was a time, Ken and I, we've been around a long time. I'm not going to say how long, but long. We've been around a long time. We've been in the ministry over 40 years. When we started, I'm going to tell you how long ago that's been. There was not such a term as Word Church or Faith Church. You know, those are labels that people put on all of us because we're Word people and we're Faith people. There wasn't such a term as a faith church or a word church. Isn't that, I'm not saying there wasn't a word church, there wasn't a faith church, but it was not that people had a term for it. Isn't that amazing in my lifetime how things have changed, and in your lifetime how things have changed? We live in the most exciting days since Jesus walked the earth. I'm telling you, church, we've got victory in the house. We've got good churches. We've got good teachers and preachers. And we can get the word just anytime we want it. There's a way to get it to us. Books, CDs, television. Oh, my. We'll have no excuse, though, when we stand before the Lord. We'll have no excuse if we're not spiritual giants. We can, every one of us, be a spiritual giant. We've got what it takes to be that, and that is the taught Word of God, the revealed Word of God. We've got the blessing being manifest in our day for anybody who will receive it. Glory to God. I'm a receiver. I like to go forward. I like the company that I keep. I love to be with faith people. I love to be in churches like this where people are turned on and happy and blessed and prosperous. Glory to God. I like the shining path. Hallelujah. God loves you. He knows right where you are. He's ready. Anytime you're ready, He's ready. Isn't that something? Anytime we're ready to receive, God's ready to bless us. It just takes faith in the Word of God. What is faith? Faith is believing and saying whatever God says. I believe that. Whatever God says, I believe it. I take it. I can go to the Word of God and know right where healing is for me to take. Take it. You know, the Bible talks about the Word being medicine. It's medicine to our flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The world doesn't have any medicine like this. They got a lot of prescriptions and they got a lot of medicine, but they don't have anything like this. There's some things that the world can't cure, but the Word of God can fix any situation. It doesn't matter whether it's curable in the natural or in the world or uncurable. God's Word brings faith in healing, and healing brings deliverance and well-being in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we love the Word today. We thank You for it. We bless You for it. God has a plan and a path. We're a masterpiece. He's made us with a plan. John 10:10 says in the Amplified that Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life. I like to enjoy life. God wants us not only to have life, but enjoy life. Glory to God, that we might have and enjoy life. We can connect to the blessing plan. We can connect to the healing plan. We can connect to the Word of God plan concerning anything. You're having trouble in your marriage? God's got a plan for that. You know what? You know what'll make a good marriage? Walking in the love of God. Going after 1 Corinthians 13. Love's not touchy. This will really help your marriage. Wherever you are in that area, this will help you. This is so important if you're married. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Just that one scripture from the Amplified Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. Just that one thing. Touchy, not touchy, fretful or resentful. That means if your husband says something to you that hurts your feelings, you don't pout, you don't give him the cold shoulder. What do? You love him. You're not touchy. I'm not touchy. Fretful. I remember Billy Brim preaching on this. She said she had to put those words on the door of her cabinet. She put those words, love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. And then she put all those things right there about love. She put it on her cabinet door. Her husband would come in and he'd say, this doesn't taste like mother's soup. Why don't you find out her recipe? Billy'd go to the cabinet, she'd open that door. Instead of feeding him that soup by the pan, she went to the door and she looked at her love scripture. Love's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Why don't you find out how mother does this? Love's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Did you know you got the power to forgive? You have so much power that no matter what somebody says to you, you don't have to let it bug you at all. You can just say, I'm not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I don't pay any attention to a suffered wrong. What if somebody says something ugly to you, and you take it. You just jump right in there, and you just give them a piece of your mind that you don't have to spare. You just give them a piece of your mind. What happens? Well, now you're all messed up. Your day's ruined. You know, you were happy, and now you're sad. But if somebody says something to you ugly and you just realize, I have the power to forgive. You don't have to say it. You can just say nothing and just smile and say, have a good day. Bless you. Bless you. What does the Bible say? We can bless and we don't have to curse. Glory to God. I'm telling you, people, we got the power. We got it. We don't have to let anything move us, get in our way, stir us up, make us mad, get us off our faith. And you know, really, if you're going to go far in the walk of faith, you'll have to get to where you walk in love. Because why? Faith works by love. If you're not going to have love, your faith's not going to be working. And so when somebody is mean to you or ugly to you and you want to give them something ugly and mean back, be thinking about, I'd like to do that, but I'd rather be blessed. Yeah, I could do it. And sometimes you might think, I could do it. I could come up with something to answer that. But I'd rather be blessed. Say, I'd rather be blessed. So I'm going to walk in love. I'm not touchy. I'm not fretful. I'm not resentful. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I walk in love. I forgive. I have the power to forgive. And I choose to forgive. I walk in love. I walk in faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And faith works by love. And I work by love. I'm a lover. I keep the love commandment. Nobody can take the love commandment from me. I love. I'm blessed. And I'm full of joy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Glory to God. Come ahead, Pastor. I'm folding up here. I'm putting all my stuff up. It's been fun. This is a fun place to preach. Glory to God. Oh, I want to tell you. Give me just a couple minutes, Pastor. Maybe five. Maybe ten. Here are the things. These are the chapters in the book, God's Plan for Your Life. And you know, God's got a plan, and you need to find out what it is. Here are the keys. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Trust God's path and believe He has a good plan for you. Make it a priority to spend time with God in His Word. Fill your heart and mouth with the Word of God and believe those things it says will come to pass. Persevere in faith, knowing that God can work beyond your natural abilities and equip you to do the impossible. Be obedient to turn from sin and disconnect from all that prevents you from discerning God's direction. Key 8 is develop a heart of gratitude and praise for all the blessings He bestows upon you. Key 9, let patience work. God has a better plan. And key 10 is plant God's word in your heart, cultivate it, and give it time to produce. Those are the 10 keys to walking in your master plan. And your master plan is so wonderful. It'll be worth every effort, spiritually and every other way, that you put into walking it. God is a good God. He loves you. And He has the best plan for your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's give Sister Gloria a hand clap. They'll be back tonight. Brother Copeland will be back at that time. Now, before you leave, now take your seats. Take your seats. Now, His master plan is that you don't run out until I finish. That's the master plan. The first thing, you got to be obedient. All right. Now, this, well, I'll tell you what. I got one copy right here. Wait. Who came from the farthest distance? Wait now. You don't even know. I might. Who came from the farthest distance to get here? Now, this is not participating in our program, but somebody who came here to hear the word of God. Now, and let me hear where you came from. Now, this is not only for this area, but it's for our overflow as well, because I want to include them in there, in the overflow as well. I want to hear you came from the farthest distance to get here. Wait, give me a place. Oklahoma. Okay, I heard Oklahoma. What else?
Japan.
He came from Japan. Now you. Now wait a minute. Hold on. You came from Japan to come to the meeting.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anybody further than Japan? I want to check the overflow as well. So ushers in there. Give me a thumbs up if there's somebody further than Japan now. Now, don't make up nothing because you're in the Lord's house. And you know all liars will be thrown in the lake. Now, I'm not talking about Lake Michigan. Okay. Where? Ethiopia. Okay. Ethiopia. Wait. Now, let me just track this now. Let me see. Wait a minute. Ethiopia. Now, you came from Ethiopia to the meeting. For the meeting. Oh, you came for the meeting. You're here for the conference. Okay. Now, wait. Now, hold on. Okay. Now, help me. Which is the farthest away? Japan is? Okay, Japan is. Y'all know that now. Okay, all right. Anybody further than Japan? Ethiopia? Not quite as far as Japan. Anybody else further? Okay, overflow. I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay, south side? No, that's not. You ain't talking about that. Okay, Japan. Come on up, Japan. Let's get in.